Please give your attention now to the reading of God's holy and inspired word, John chapter 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." May God bless the reading of his holy word. We are promised a blessing in the reading of God's word in Isaiah chapter 55. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Our prayer this morning is that God would bless the reading, the hearing, and the application of his perfect and holy word. Amen. Well, as we come to John chapter 10 today, this primary message that is before us in this familiar chapter is one that Christians love to hear. We love to speak of Christ as our shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. We love these references. They are comforting to us. We know this by the scriptures. We know on multiple occasions that the scriptures call us to this. We'll see several references today and in the weeks to come. But we also know this from our own Christian walk, that Christ is faithful to us, that he is true to us, that he protects us, that he leads us, that he gives us so much as our shepherd. And again, I'm excited about exploring this over the weeks to come. A couple of things that we want to look today are related to that idea of Christ being a shepherd. We're going to look at the sheepfold, first of all. And what does this mean as Christ is using this example? And we're familiar with the Word of God when we come to the Psalms. When we hear the 23rd Psalm is a wonderful example of Christ shepherding over us, a familiar passage to us, one, in fact, one of the most popular of Psalms, even among those who don't attend church. No, Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness." Over and over, these works of the shepherd are put before us in the Word of God. "And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." So then there are responsibilities that come back to us as well as being the sheep who are under the care of the shepherds. "For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." There are ways that God comforts us. How does he do that? And we're going to have the chance to explore that in John 10. "Another blessing, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So these are on our mind as we come to John 10, this image that the scriptures present to us of Christ as our shepherd. Well, connected to our Lord's description of himself as a shepherd, you noticed another idea that's presented at the beginning of John 10, we notice that he describes in detail the robber and the thief, the one who stands in the place of Christ and pretends to be Christ. We'll have a chance to explore that theme as well as we work through John chapter 10. Well, personally, I think and I feel that this chapter is amazingly applicable to us in our Christian walk, because it's a very simple to understand illustration that our Lord gives from very common themes. And we may not be so commonly aware of being a shepherd or sheep or how sheep act or what a shepherd does, but this is meant to be something that we can easily understand. It's also applicable because we don't live in an age of strong Christianity. In fact, we live in an age of apostasy and error. And so this illustration actually teaches us a lot about the church and how the church works and how people come into the church. And one of the things we see is that our Lord Jesus is not trying to teach us how to become a shepherd. He's not teaching us how to take care of sheep, literal sheep. As we read in our passage, our reading this morning from Matthew 16, we see that Jesus wasn't trying to teach us how to bake bread. There was something there. There was a message there. Jesus is teaching us something. And in John 10, the Lord Jesus is teaching us how we can know the true shepherd. Isn't that the context of John 10? They don't recognize him as the shepherd? Jesus is also teaching us how to recognize the thief. You think there are any thieves in our day? Are there any who are robbers, who are coming into the church, who are threatening the church? Do we have any threats that we need to be aware of? We certainly do, and the Lord Jesus is teaching us this today in John chapter 10. So now, as always, and even now more than ever, the words of our Lord Jesus are needed by the people of God so that we might know our shepherd, that we might recognize the thief. And then, on top of this, are responsibilities that you and I have. Did you notice that in our reading? We'll get to some of this today, but What does the sheep do when the sheep hears a voice of a robber or a thief? They don't follow that, right? So there are responsibilities that fall to you and I. There are many applications in the Word of God, and we'll have a chance to dive into those. So this chapter before us, these words about the shepherding work of our Lord Jesus are needed now more than ever in our pulpits. They're words that are needed in our homes. And there are words that we need in private as well. What would we be if we had no shepherd to follow? We do have a shepherd to follow, so then what does that mean for us? There are responsibilities that fall to us. Well, one of the grand themes of the Scriptures, especially of the Old Testament, as we come up to John, the Gospel according to John, one of the grand themes that's before us is the identity of the coming Messiah. This is all throughout the Old Testament, to identify Christ. Well, what do we find in John 10? They don't see Christ. He's right in front of them. They're questioning him. He is being doubted publicly. But Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the one you've been looking for. And they don't see that. So that's an important theme that is before us. Jesus is communicating his identity. I ask you today, who is Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Is Jesus your shepherd? Are you one of the sheep who follow the shepherd? Well, what does that mean for you? And these are things that are often lost upon us as followers of Christ. Ask anyone exiting a church in our nation today, who is Jesus? Do you think you'll get one common answer? More than likely, you'll get a lot of different answers because a lot of different people follow a lot of different Jesuses. So the true Jesus presented for us in the Word of God is here in John chapter 10. And I think we struggle, as well as anyone else, with knowing Christ and how we should follow him. And John 10 clears that up for us. An interesting thing to notice in John 10, almost the entirety of the religious, the body of religious leaders at that time were failing to see Jesus. Failing to see Jesus. Jesus illustrates his identity for us in the setting that's just, it's so easy to understand before us that I'm glad the Lord Jesus speaks on our level and shows us how to understand his lordship over us. Well, let's begin and look through what we can today of John chapter 10, these first verses. I want us to at least try to cover the sheepfold, and I want us to try to cover the door and the doorkeeper. And I think we'll have just a little bit of time to talk about some of the responsibilities of sheep that we'll look at next week. Look at verse 1, if you would, with me, please. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold. So right away, the Lord Jesus introduces this illustration, and he begins to speak of the sheepfold. But he climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, as our chapter unfolds, there are a couple of upcoming passages that give us more details about the thief and the robber. So we're going to come to that over time. I want us to talk about the sheepfold in verse 1. What exactly is Jesus talking about when he says that there is a sheepfold? Now again, the Lord's not trying to teach us how to raise and care for barnyard animals. Okay, that's not the point of our passage before us today. There's a reason why he talks about a sheepfold, because he calls himself the shepherd, and as we'll see, he also calls himself the door. Okay, and there are sheep. And I think, at least, I hope that we understand a very basic understanding of what Jesus is saying, that you understand yourselves as being sheep. The people of God are the sheep. Christ is the shepherd. Well, then what's a sheepfold? Well, he's taking a common everyday thing and he's illustrating something for us that is wonderful for us to know and understand. Well, what was a sheepfold actually in the ancient world? What was a sheepfold? If you had to describe that to someone who asked you the question, well, helpful that we have good descriptions of these types of things. You're probably not familiar every day, again, with raising sheep. So let's look to John Brown gives us a good description of what a sheepfold was in the ancient world. He says, at night, the shepherd called the sheep together and conducted them back into the sheepfold, which was a large, unroofed enclosure with walls of considerable height and strength, where they remained throughout the night. It would seem that the flocks of a number of shepherds were sometimes housed in the same fold, there protected from thieves and beasts of prey by proper watchmen. They spend the night in repose. Till the sun having risen, the shepherds come, and then being let into the fold by the watchmen, this is part of our illustration, who kept the entrance, each again led forth his flock. So we see this is some kind of an enclosure where the sheep are protected, especially at night when there was the greatest danger. Now, as we're trying to understand this illustration, does a place that is protected, a place of rest for the sheep, does that sound familiar to you as you're thinking about your Christian walk, as you're thinking about your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ? You think you'd probably have a good guess as to what the sheepfold would be? If you would guess that it would be the church, and I think that's a pretty solid understanding of our passage. You see, Jesus is talking about the church when he comes to discuss the sheepfold in John chapter 10. And there are many lessons here for us to learn when it comes to the sheepfold. Matthew Poole says, there is no doubt but by the sheepfold is meant here the church of God, in which the people of God are gathered together into one. Matthew Henry shares the same description. George Hutchison says, among the favors conferred among Christ's people, he hath in particular appointed for them a privilege of a church society, wherein the elect are converted, and the converted live under his care and blessing, in the use of his ordinances, till they be fitted for glory. For the sheep have a sheepfold, which is expounded to be the church, as we'll see in a moment from verse 16. Hutchison closes his remarks. He says, the sheep are represented as folded. They are collected together, forming one body, separated from others in a state of comparative security. Now, I hope that your understanding of the church fits that description. Now, what we often find as we talk to people in the world in our particular time, a lot of people have been hurt by the church. And they don't see the church as a sheepfold. And they see the church as a painful place that they want to avoid at all costs. And that's a sad thing that we would remark in our understanding of the way people behave in church. But the church is the sheepfold. Now, as we're looking at this principle here, now we won't get to verse 16 for a few weeks, but skip ahead in your chapter there you have before you with John chapter 10. Look at verse 16. We see that Jesus says, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd." Okay, so Jesus is continuing to build on his description of his illustration. And you can see then that these are not just empty words from our Lord Jesus. These things have significance. His words matter. The illustration teaches us about the nature of the church. It teaches us about the nature of people. And it teaches us about the shepherding work of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things we'll find as we do spend more time here is that certain responsibilities fall upon the shepherd in our passage. And there's some good illustration here for how elders should understand their work as being under-shepherds under Christ. One of the responsibilities that falls to a shepherd, especially to our Lord Jesus in John 10, is the protection of the sheep. The protection of the sheep. Well, to protect the flock, or to protect the sheep in our passage from the many dangers that threaten the sheep, shepherds commonly created these sheepfolds to protect the sheep from wild animals and from thieves. All right, friends, I think this particular description is significant in the example put before us by the Lord Jesus here in John chapter 10. Since Jesus is the shepherd and he is the door, well, then this demands that there must be a sheepfold. How can there be a door with no sheepfold? Do you see how these things fit together? Why would there be sheep without a sheepfold is something I would want to suggest to you today. Why would there be a desire to have sheep running around with no protection? And our Lord Jesus doesn't give us any thought process to assume that we could go forward without these things. He's making them very clear and plain to us. We'll see that in ancient times. Let's go back and think about a shepherd in the time of Christ, a literal shepherd, someone with a flock of sheep. Now, if that shepherd didn't have a sheepfold, this shepherd would be a great failure, and his sheep would probably die. So the worst shepherd had a sheepfold. You had to. You wouldn't be a shepherd for long if you didn't have a place to keep your sheep from dying. And what's amazing then, as we think about our Lord Jesus and his ministry to us, it's amazing to note how the modern church perceives the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it an amazing thing to think that most people want to think of Jesus as being powerful, but they don't want to think that Jesus has any laws? Right, they think that Jesus just leaves us to do whatever we want. In most modern churches, the law is pressed down. There's a discarding of any obedience to anything. And so somehow, and I know that this is debated among churches about how Christ serves as a king, but if Jesus is a king, he'd be the worst king ever if he had no laws. Every king has laws. Every town has laws. Every king would have laws. And the same thing is true of the Lord Jesus and his work as a shepherd. Jesus would be the worst shepherd ever if there was no sheepfold. If there was no place of protection, how could our Lord Jesus then claim to be our shepherd if there was no protection of us? So to assume there is no church in our day is a drastic change from the New Testament, but it's also a very poor understanding of our Lord Jesus. You see, when you have Jesus, you have a church. When you have a church, you have Jesus. Those things go together like a sheep and sheepfold and a shepherd. Those things go together. You find that those today who want to remove the judgment of Christ from his qualifications, the things that he does for us, we find the church tends to create Jesus in a very strange image, where he, again, has no laws, where he has no sheepfold, where he has no rules. There's nothing that he does on our behalf. And what a strange thing it is to think of Jesus this way, because this isn't the way that Jesus is described in the Scriptures. The Bible says that Christ does have laws, that Christ is a judge, that Christ is love, but he is the suffering one, but he is also exalted in power and glory, and he crushes his enemies to dust. So any idea of Christ that removes these wonderful attributes from him is a distortion of Christ. And I want you to see a connection here, that to remove a sheepfold from his shepherd is a distortion of Christ. And that is true of all those who would suppress the church and dismiss the church in any way. We see that that is not only a distortion of Scripture, that's a distortion of Christ himself. The larger catechism, question 45, is before you in your worship order here in the middle section. Look to this with me. I think we're going on about 5 or 6 weeks in a row where I've referenced this larger catechism question, so it's one that we should be familiar with. How did Christ execute the office of a king? Christ executed the office of a king in calling out of the world people to himself. And what else does Christ do here as a king? He gives them officers, laws, and censures by which he visibly governs them. My friends, this is the sheepfold that we're talking about in John chapter 10. Listen to the Confession of Faith chapter 25. I think that's in your printout here too. Skip down to that. And we talk about the visible church. The visible church, which is also Catholic and universal under the gospel, not confined to one nation as before under the law, consists of all those who throughout the world that profess the true religion and of their children, and is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, the house and the family of God, out of which there is no ordinary possibility of salvation. But look at section 3 here. Under this Catholic visible church, Christ hath given the ministry, oracles, and the ordinances of God for the gathering and the perfecting of the saints in this life to the end of the world, and doth by his own presence and spirit, according to his promise, make them effectual thereunto. What a beautiful way to see the sheepfold that is described for us in John chapter 10, that Jesus has a purpose for it, that he has created it. He does take care of his sheep, and he does this by giving them a sheepfold. Jesus isn't a shepherd that leaves his sheep in the desert at night with no protection. Jesus isn't a bad shepherd. He brings his sheep into a place of protection. He brings us into a place of protection. That is the church. One of the benefits of the church is that there are officers that are provided. It's no accident in the Scriptures, as we'll see moving forward, that the Scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, repeatedly refers to overseers in the church by the same term as that is referred to Christ, as shepherds. Shepherds. So the Lord Jesus uses this illustration that he didn't make up on the spot. He already had it in his word for many generations, the idea and understanding of leadership of the church being like him in his work of shepherding. Now we'll come to Ezekiel chapter 34 in coming weeks, but in Ezekiel 34 we hear, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, "Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" We're going to spend some time talking about and seeing the illustration of our Lord with these thieves and robbers. And just very briefly, how do the thieves and the robbers get into the sheepfold? They don't come through the door, which our Lord Jesus will coming to. He describes as himself. They jump over the wall. They come in some other way. Or they attempt to steal the sheep or attack them in some other way. That gives us a very good illustration to understand some of the shenanigans we see in the church in our day. We'll cover this in some weeks to come. George Hutchison says, "Albeit Christ's sheep are bound to watch over themselves, yet they are not altogether left to their own in the care of themselves. But he hath provided pastors for their better provision and security." And this is one of the benefits of the sheepfold. The sheepfold is an essential element of the Christian life. The entire description of Christ as the shepherd and the door would make no sense at all if there were no sheepfold. There is an area where the sheep are protected, where they are separated, and where they are cared for. Christian, I call you today from the Word of God to treasure and to care for the church of Jesus Christ. Treasure the sheepfold today. More and more in our day, we see a movement away from the organized church, and more of an interest in living outside of the sheepfold. Yes, there are problems within the church. People are mistreated. People have their feelings hurt. But if you follow through with the illustration of the sheepfold, the sheep who goes off on his own, it's in a pretty bad place. The sheepfold is important. This is the plan of the Lord Jesus Christ for his church. And we are called to see the importance of the church in John chapter 10. We'll cover the thief and the robber in a couple of weeks. But let's look to our illustration here and skip to verse 2. Jesus introduces next the door and the shepherd. Look at verse 2. "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now, it's obvious that Christ is the shepherd here, and that he tells us that he is the door of the sheepfold. Later on in our passage, when we come to verse 7, Jesus says to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Matthew Henry says, "Jesus makes himself to be both the door by which the shepherd enters and the shepherd that enters in by the door." It's interesting in his use of the description there, isn't it? That he's both. Matthew Poole says, "By the door he apparently meaneth himself, or rather more generally, that way which God hath appointed for any that are to take charge of his church to enter. He is both the shepherd and the door." Important for us to see. Important for us to see as we explore John chapter 10 and the many ways that we are instructed about the church and the responsibilities of shepherds and the responsibilities of sheep, that we see Jesus Christ as the shepherd and the door. And this is the part that many people miss in the church in our day. You think this would be pretty obvious, that we must come through Christ to come into the church. But what a strange thing that we have found in our own generation. What is the general message of the larger church in our day? How much of church is even about Christ in our day? A lot of times people come into the church for all kinds of reasons in our day. We'll look at some of those reasons, but very seldom are they actually coming through Christ, who is the door. Some people would say, to go to a theological reason, well, we come in because we're smarter. I figured out that I should follow Jesus on my own. I have my own faith. I followed after that, my own smarts. The Bible teaches us that we'd never follow the shepherd if we followed our own wisdom. How is it that we know to follow the shepherd? How do we even know to come through Christ? Because of the work of the Holy Spirit, working through the Scriptures. That's how we know. So it's almost impossible to think that if a church has distorted Christ and distorted theology and salvation, then how is Christ still the door? You see that connection there? If you come through Christ, well, if you're demonstrating a false image of Christ and a poor understanding of salvation, how are you coming through Christ? So I think in a lot of ways, the church has lost this illustration of coming through Christ into the sheepfold. I think we could bear that out with many examples. Matthew Henry says, plain directions how to come into the fold are here. We must come in by Jesus Christ as the door. By faith in him as the great mediator between God and man, we come into covenant, a communion with God. There is no entering into God's church, but by coming into Christ's church. Nor are any looked upon as members of the kingdom of God among men, but those who are willing to submit to the grace and the government of the Redeemer. How many churches are submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ? How many hold forth the door, being the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, far too much of Christianity in our day, and this is a warning for us as well, far too much of Christianity has little to do with Christ. Very sadly, I can give you an example of traveling and even visiting a Reformed church through the years. A Reformed church where the name of Jesus Christ was never mentioned in a sermon. And far too often, the church about in our day has become more about programs and less about Christ. The church revolves more about the church appealing to children rather than being devoted to the proclamation of Christ's holy inerrant word and the brilliant and beautiful work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do people choose churches in our day? Far too often we find that parents choose a church because their teenagers like it or because there are more programs in that church rather than choosing a church because of its devotion and its preaching and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. Far too often men in churches are chosen to be leaders in the church because of their business experience or their success, rather than their devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we even have skewed our understanding of how to choose shepherds in our day. And we'll see this in a couple of weeks as we see how in our day we've come to a time when preachers rise up to be celebrities, not ordained by presbyteries or chosen in a proper way or trained even. These are men who've jumped over those walls, as we'll see, and they're not people we should listen to. Jesus is giving us some directions here in John chapter 10. He's telling us to be careful. He's telling us to be cautious and to treat the sheepfold in a certain way, in a sheepfold with parts of the walls broken down and the doors wide open. And I mean, just distorting this image is in many ways what we see of the church in our day. Very poorly kept sheepfold. We have to wonder if Christ is not the door. What is the door? What is the door for you and your family today? How did you come to be in the church? Did you come through the Lord Jesus Christ? What is the door? How do you understand the sheepfold in your life? Verse 3 takes us to the doorkeeper. Well, to him, and we're speaking about the shepherd here, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And one of the fun things I always like about the Lord's Day, I always enjoy when we talk about the sermon throughout the day. And sometimes I'll intentionally introduce some thought that I don't have time to really explore just to get you to talk about it and ask questions about that throughout the day. Well, as you read commentaries about John chapter 10, there are a lot of different opinions about who the doorkeeper is. So I would ask you to explore that and to think about who is the doorkeeper in verse 3. There's a lot of discussion among commentators about the meaning of the doorkeeper in Christ's illustration. And we need to be careful, though, because sometimes in parables in general or descriptions of things in the Word of God, sometimes we like to go a little crazy. You know, we'll take certain things and The early church was sort of guilty of this. They tried to make the river Euphrates mean something in Genesis, and the other river meant something else. Or they'd try to make the five stones that Jesus or that David picks up to go toward Goliath, they'd make those stones all mean different things. Right, the Bible says nothing about this, but we get a little too creative. Well, in this illustration, the Lord Jesus tells us the meaning. But there is discussion among commentators about who the doorkeeper is. And it's a fun discussion that we can have on this passage. We find that some have said the doorkeepers here are pastors because they open the door by the preaching of the gospel. Possibly. Others have tended to think that the doorkeeper is God himself. And others, to be more specific, have said that the doorkeeper is the Holy Spirit. Can you see that? Can you see the doorkeeper being the Holy Spirit? I lean to that. That seems to be the best explanation in my mind. I think there's a lot of wisdom with that. But there's discussion about exactly what we want to say is the doorkeeper here. In the words of Jesus, I don't think these characters are random. Jesus isn't just making up words and an illustration that means nothing to us. He says that he is the door, he is the shepherd. It's clear who the sheep are, and it's clear where the sheep are going. So it seems a logical step to say that the Holy Spirit is the one who opens the door to the sheep. That seems pretty safe to me. I don't think that's being too out there as far as interpretation goes. And I would submit it to you for discussion. Now, I'm not certain of the doorkeeper, absolutely. But I would tend to think that the doorkeeper here is the Holy Spirit. He is the one who opens things to us, that we can hear the voice of the Lord Jesus. So that makes sense if you make that application. One of the responsibilities as we move forward with the doorkeeper, who is also the shepherd, and again, we're going to delay that for coming time, but look at verse 3 as it concludes. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. What a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ we have here before us. He calls his own sheep by name. You see, Jesus isn't just broadcasting a message and hoping that someone will come to him. He knows his sheep. And we'll see this in John 10 and further on in the Gospel of John. Jesus knows his sheep. He calls their name. And then what do the sheep do? Follow. These are our responsibilities that we have according to the word of God here. Jesus is then leading his sheep. And I love the description that we see in verse 4 as it continues. It says he brings out his own sheep and he goes before them. Now that's not an accident there as well. Jesus goes before us. You see, Jesus does not look down from heaven and at a distance and then pour his salvation out upon his people at a distance. Now, we understand differently of our Lord Jesus today, don't we? We understand that he didn't stay within the safety of heaven. No, he comes down to be with his people. He is incarnated. He becomes human just like his people, with the exception of sin. He has no sin. But he comes to be among us. He grows up as a child to live among his people. He serves his people. He ministers to them. So do you see, even here in John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, even remind us of the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He goes before us. What a precious truth that we have here, that Jesus goes before us in our suffering. Jesus goes before us in death. He takes our sin upon himself as the captain of our salvation that we read of in Hebrews chapter 2. We don't have time to go there today, but Hebrews 2 is a beautiful passage describing the captain of our salvation. You know that word there means that Jesus goes right before us in our salvation. So he's not a captain on a ship who directs men to go to an island to perform a duty. Jesus gets in the water. Jesus goes toward the work as our captain. He is leading and directing us in the midst of the world itself. And without sin. A miracle, the incarnation itself is. We find it's no wonder then that we long to hear his voice. In John chapter 10, isn't that what the verse describes for us? When he brings out his sheep and he goes before them, the sheep follow him and they know his voice. These are our applications in weeks to come. Christian, today, do you follow Christ? You know, there's more to following Christ than coming to church. There's more to following Christ than carrying a Bible. There is much to following Christ. Do you follow your shepherd today? What kind of a job are you doing at following your shepherd? Do you know your shepherd's voice today? How do you know the voice of Jesus? Have you ever heard Jesus speak audibly? How would you know that Jesus speaks? You know through his word. How do you know the word of God today? Do you spend time in the word of God? Do you know your shepherd? These are challenges for us here in John chapter 10. Let's make sure that we understand that we have many responsibilities. The sheep are those led by Christ into the sheepfold. And the first responsibility we see as sheep is they hear his voice. And I do want to break this down in weeks to come, but just for now, the means of grace is the way that we see and hear the voice of our shepherd today. The second responsibility that we'll go into as well is to go where the shepherd leads. Now, just for today, where does the shepherd lead the sheep in our passage for today? Into the sheepfold. This is one of the first things that we should understand becoming followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that he leads us into the church. Into the church. For our protection. And it is shocking today the number of Christians who are so very comfortable outside of the church. That's not in accordance with the Word of God. And Jesus basically tells us you will be in great danger outside of the church. If there are thieves and robbers that come over the wall, think of how many thieves and robbers are outside the sheepfold. Another responsibility that we'll have a chance to dive into is to be careful who we follow. Many men rise up to call themselves shepherds in our day that should not be followed. And we'll look at some of those as we examine the larger catechism question 158. By whom is the word of God to be preached? The word of God is to be preached only by such as are sufficiently gifted. Being gifted is just one thing. Sufficiently gifted is good for me, as you know, because we are saying then that you don't have to be perfectly gifted, you have to be sufficiently gifted, which is a good thing, but also those who are duly approved and called. Duly approved and duly called. Those are the things that will often show us the difference between a true shepherd and a thief and a robber in our day. To be duly called involves something. We're going to talk about the form of church government and what a presbytery is and how this relates to the words of Christ in John chapter 10. Look to me with verse 6 as we conclude our time this morning. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. It will go in and out and find pasture." I wanted to say a brief word here about verse 8 when Jesus says, "All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Jesus isn't speaking here about Moses and the prophets. Okay, he's not saying about legitimate shepherds who came before. He's talking about all those who came before him who claimed to be messiahs, which was in fact a great number. Many would rise up in these in these years to claim to be who Christ truly was, Jesus says they're thieves and robbers. So let's be clear. I don't want us to misunderstand the words of Christ in verse 8. All of the false prophets are thieves and robbers. Now, as we conclude our time today, I think we have been challenged in many ways with John chapter 10, even just beginning to sort of touch the tip of the iceberg with the applications that are here. And today, my friends, we hear the precious words about our Lord Jesus Christ as our shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He so perfectly cares for his children. One of the ways we've seen today is by giving us a sheepfold. Jesus is caring for us by giving us the church, by giving us officers, laws, and censures. Look at how empty and lost we would be without our shepherd. I'm telling you today, many are empty and lost without a sheepfold because that's the way that Christ leads his people. Jesus is the door into the sheepfold today. How many misunderstand the door? I think we've been challenged to see that Christ is the door. Is he the door in your life? Is he the door? Christ is the shepherd who leads, who has a voice. Do you know the voice of your shepherd today? Do you follow that voice? Do you lead where the shepherd wants you to go? Now, that's a different question there, right? Lots of people know where they should go, what they should do, but they don't do it. So they don't go where the shepherd leads. Let's be very clear today that all who hear the word of God proclaimed in John chapter 10, this word is comforting to Christians because he's leading us and protecting us as our shepherd. Be careful today that these words also give a very stern warning to those who are outside of Christ. If you are outside of Christ, there is no comfort for you in John chapter 10. You are not within that sheepfold. You do not go through the door. You are not being led by that shepherd in the same way. He still will become your judge someday. But that shepherd, that relationship that we see in John chapter 10, that should not be comforting to you if you are outside of Christ. If you are outside of Christ, your life is not committed to him. You fall outside of the sheepfold. He is not your protector. He is not your defender. And my friends, what a miserable place that this would be today. To be outside of Christ. But the message is different if you are a Christian. If you are in Christ, Christian, what a comfort that this passage is to you today. But you've also been challenged and not just comforted. You've been challenged to treasure the sheepfold. Do you treasure the sheepfold in your life? Do you respect the door? Do you hear and respect the doorkeeper? Christian, do not neglect the church. Make sure you hear the shepherd when he speaks. Honor these blessings that you have been given that the Jewish leaders in John chapter 10 had no idea of. They neglected those blessings. You have them. Treasure them and use them and hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as he brings you into the comfort and the safety of the church. Let's stand together and pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks today for the sheepfold. We thank you that you give us these walls of protection, that you protect us from thieves and robbers. Oh Lord, what a blessing it is to consider the perfect shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would help us to honor our shepherd, that you would help us to give attention to the doorkeeper, to respond to the Holy Spirit, and grant us thankful hearts for the privileges that we enjoy as sheep who follow after the words of the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.